I'm going to ask you to stand once again as you are able in reverence for God's holy word. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the word of the most holy God says this: "Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he who will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live before." And according to St. Luke, the chapter, beginning with the first verse. Okay. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words." This is the will of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I love Easter. I love it not just because the sun's coming out and the forsythia's blooming and all things. I love what it represents, because after the dead of winter, life returns to the earth. Celebrate Easter during this time of renewal of the earth so that we are reminded of the death and resurrection of Jesus. I love that the crosses are empty. I love that. There's a lot to be said for a crucifix that, has Christ on the cross, because we need to remember that. But I love the empty cross because it reminds me that it is finished, that it is done, that there were hard tasks to perform, but at a certain that work was over. But the disciples didn't feel that way, did they? You know, when Christ was crucified, the disciples went into hiding. They were scared. They were terrified. They forgot their own history, because God had a way of showing up on the third day. There were two other times in the Old Testament when God did something that was completely new and unexpected on the third day. The first one was in the Old Covenant, at the very beginning of the Old Covenant with Abraham, when God told him to take his son Isaac out to sacrifice him, to test Abraham's faith. And on the third day, they arrived at the place where Isaac was to be sacrificed. And he's on the altar to be sacrificed. The wood is there. Everything is there. And all of a sudden, God shows up. And what he did not require of Abraham, he did require of himself. He provided a substitute sacrifice. He said, "Abraham, your faith, now you know your faith is true. Now we can get started on this covenant that we've been talking about for all these years. Because now, you have given all." And then there's another time that God presented himself not just to one person, but to the entire nation. After Israel, the nation of Israel was released from captivity in Egypt, and they made their way through the wilderness, and that they're at the foot of Mount Sinai, God said, prepare yourselves for 2 days, fast, wash yourselves, clean yourselves up, prepare for something big. So for 2 days, they abstained from all the normal stuff. And on that third day, God descended upon Mount Sinai, and there was the thunder and the lightning and the voice of God. And then they had the new Ten Commandments. They had the rules that they could live by their nation. God showed up in a big way. But God showed up in the biggest way ever. She is not bothering me. God showed up in the biggest way ever on the third day that Jesus was in that tomb. There had been 2 days of preparation. We said the disciples were hiding. The religious leaders were breathing a sigh of relief that that troublemaker was gone. The Romans were saying, thank goodness, one more uprising averted. Most of the people were just going on with their regular days like nothing had ever happened. But on the third day, the ground shook and that stone rolled away, and God showed up in a way that has never been before. Now, God had raised the dead before, right? We know there are several times that Jesus raised someone from the dead, but all of those people died again. This time, there's eternal life. I love reading. I read a lot of other people's sermons. I don't get to hear a lot of other sermons, so I read other people's sermons. And one of the things I love about them is the illustrations they used. And I read a sermon this week that was so nice, but what I really remembered about it was this illustration. Apparently, during the Gulf War, there was a family that was notified that their son had been killed by stepping on a mine in Kuwait. And they were inconsolable, as you would think. This mother without her child, and she went through all the things that you would expect, disbelief and anger and searing pain, and for 2 days was completely crying and inconsolable, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, just in the depths of despair and pain. And on the third day, the phone rang. Mom, it's me. It wasn't me, it was a mistake. I'm alive. Can you imagine now how the disciples felt? It was all over. But resurrection power, that third day kind of power, makes all the difference. Resurrection power. You know, when your dream dies, you know, God may not restore that dream, but he'll give you the power to dream again. He'll raise it back up. When you go through the despair of a loss, you know, that loss might be permanent on the planet. It might be permanent here. But he fills you with so much that resurrection power gives you the power to hope again. I'm amazed at what God does, and not just the miracles of restoration, But the miracles that come when he shows up in a very unexpected way. I'm going to change the names of these people. These are people that I know and know well, that I love very much. And I'm going to call them Edgar and Melissa. Edgar and Melissa were just what you would expect of people in the 80s. They got married. They had three of the most beautiful children you've ever seen. And I'm not prejudiced just because I'm related. And they were ambitious. They were good people. They were just living, you know, what you would expect. They went to church on Sunday. They did all the normal stuff. And all of a sudden, Edgar's star started to rise. And he went to a company, and he kept rising through the ranks until he became the vice president of that company. And they had money hand over fist. Melissa didn't have to work anymore. They had a beautiful home in a gated community. They had really, really, really nice cars. They had all of those things that people seem to think they want. And a few extras. You know, they had the country club membership and got to play golf and all of those things that, you know, you see on TV. But then things weren't always what they were on the outside, because the three kids, well, one was too young, but the two oldest were hanging out with a crowd at the old country club that was leading them down a wrong path of drugs and alcohol. And the two of them would slip out at night, sometime be gone for days. Their parents wouldn't know where they were. But they didn't pull away from the life. So, something happened. As all of us were praying for these kids, we didn't have any idea what God was going to do, but this is what happened. God made a choice for them. We were all praying for these kids to be okay, so God, I think, had a hand in the hostile takeover of the business, and at that point, loss of the job. No job. And they had plenty of money, like I say, so, you know, they could live a while on their savings, but after a while, the savings dry up, and so the memberships in the clubs went. And then the mortgage on that house got to be too much, and they had to move, not to a house they could buy, but to a house they had to rent. And then they had to move to a smaller house to rent. And then they lost the luxury cars. And going from a BMW to a Dodge Clunker is hard. And like I say, they were good people. And they didn't understand what God was doing. And they were praying for God to show up. Because in his 50s, that next job just wasn't coming. And it was 3 years coming. They lost everything. But they got their children back. They lost it all. But they got their children back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we lose things and we're praying for God to give it back. You know, resurrect this, Lord. And what God showed up and resurrected was their family. Not the stuff. They still don't have all the stuff. And they thank God for it. Because during that time, they really stopped playing Christian and started being Christians. It is one thing to come here on Sunday. It's a whole nother thing to live it every day out there. And the power of resurrection does that. It is the greatest power in the universe. But we get so discouraged when things aren't going our way. Don't we? You know, another true confession. I am such a whiny person when I get sick. You know, now, 99 times out of 100, if anybody in this room says, how you doing, I always say, fine. I'm fine. But when I go home, it's, Lord, I'm trying my best to do all this stuff. The least you could do is keep me well so I can do it. Anybody? Anybody? All right, a few others. I'm not alone. I whine about that. And then usually one of you all will be the voice of God that says, you know, if you work 60 and 80 hours a week, this is going to happen. And if you won't take a break, God's going to make you. I hate when you do that. Just saying. But sometimes the loss is God's will. Jesus did not have his life taken from him. He gave it away. He laid it down. That loss was part of the plan. Because sometimes what you have to do is give up something to get something better. So whenever you're starting to feel upset, whenever you're starting to feel worried about your health, the finances, particularly your kids and your grandkids. My mother, God bless her, used to say my kids were fine, my grandkids are about to kill me. You worry. And there's all this stuff. And you have all of these things, and they can make you depressed. They can make you upset. They can make you wonder if it's even worth getting up today. Whenever that happens, I want you to do this. We're going to practice this in a minute, okay? I want you to look at whatever the trouble is and just say, third day. Third day. Because the third day's coming. It might not be three actual days, but the third day's coming. The day is coming when it's going to be all put right. Third day. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell each other, turn to your right, turn to your left, and say, the third day's coming. Because the third day's coming. I want you to look into your employment situation. If it's not going what you think, I want you to just look that square in the eye and go, third day. When the devil tells you that he's got your kids and you can't have them back, you look him straight in the eye and you go, third day. When you are looking at your bank account and there ain't nothing there, just look at your bank book and go, third day. Third day, and, you know, quit some of that stuff that you can't afford, but third day. You know, sometimes things come upon us that we have absolutely no control over. But you just look at that. Look it square in the eye and look at it and say, third day. Because the third day's coming. Resurrection power is coming. Relief is coming. The good is coming because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Something good's going to come out of it. Third day is coming. So this week, when somebody gets you upset, what are you going to do?
Third day.
When your kids give you that call, say, Mom and Dad, I'm coming back home. What are you going to say? See? When life tries to mess with you and the devil is trying to take something that belongs to you, don't let him have it. Look him square in the eye and say, third day. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the power of resurrection teaches us that there is no power greater than God's power. And he lives inside of us. So what does that tell you? You are unconquerable. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.